because right now, as promised, we are joined by a CBS Sports senior college basketball writer, a CBS Sports HQ college basketball analyst. He is also the co-host of the Ion College Basketball Podcast. Of course, he is Matt Norlander. Matt, it is awesome to have you on the morning after the Natty, my man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling wonderful. It has been a very long weekend, but a wonderful weekend, an incredible tournament. UConn's dominance, you know, we have had now two straight years here, Jim, where we've had a historic run. So we were low on drama, but you know me, man. I love this blessed tournament. I love this Final Four every year. Running on fumes, but I am absolutely fired up and ready to go for you, buddy.
I'm with you, my brother. Low on drama, but high on excellence. UConn rolls right through the tournament field for the second year in a row, and Dan Hurley did it, Matt, after losing five of his top eight scorers from last year's team. So the question is, how did he do it? How were they even more dominant this year than they were last year?
I asked Dan Hurley that very question on the court last night for CBS Sports HQ, and basically what he told me was it comes down to recruiting not just the right guys, and that is, I understand that can sound like so cliche, but I am just telling you, knowing Dan Hurley, having known him more than a decade now, he is brutally honest as a recruiter, and you have to be wired a very specific way to be able to play for him and that program, because it is going to be an experience unlike anything you've ever gone through before as a player. He is going to hold you accountable. You're going to learn how to play a high-level, intelligent style of basketball. You're going to be very selfless in how you do it, and you're going to commit all the way. And a practice in the middle of November is going to feel like you're getting ready to play the national title game the next day. And so what they've been able to do is have this changeover, identify the right guys. Cam Spencer, I was actually late last night, got back to the CBS hotel, and I was talking with Jay Wright, and he said Dalton Connect was an amazing transfer, you know, probably the transfer of the year, but Cam Spencer and what he did for this team, he was the most important transfer of the season. And in light of what we saw him do for the Huskies in this tournament, it's hard to argue against what Jay told me. It's incredible and a great balance, and you'll notice the way that UConn did it both years, they have had star freshmen. Stephon Castle shined on the big stage here, but they've had key components, guys who are longtime players and an injection of transfer talent. It's not easy for teams and coaches to get that magical combination, but UConn, Hurley, that staff was able to do so. And in my opinion, and I wrote this overnight for CBSSports.com, I think this is one of the best teams in college basketball in decades. And I'm not just talking two decades, Jim. I'm talking three or four decades. And given where we are with the portal and NIL, we're never going back to the way that it was. There is a real chance that we will never see this again. And I'm not saying specifically back-to-back. I'm saying back-to-back championships from a program doing it by rolling teams. 12 wins in a row in the tournament. They covered the spread every single time and won by at least 13 points every single time. I was in awe of last year's tournament run. That was an average of 20 points per game. This one was 23.3. It's insane what Dan Hurley and that program just did, and we can't normalize it because I don't know if we truly will ever see a two-year run like this ever again.
Matt Norlander breaking it all down for us. So, Matt, having said that, given the changing landscape of the sport, to the point you just made, the portal, the player turnover, if we'll never see a two-year run like that ever again, and I tend to agree with you, if repeating is virtually impossible, what do you think their chances are for a three-peat?
I mean, I'm going to answer the question, but I'm very aware of the fact that depending on what I say here, it's going to eventually make it back to Dan Hurley, a man who has never shied away from letting me know about his slice and how I didn't give him enough credit that he felt he deserved. I picked this team 13th in the preseason, and about 2 weeks into November, he made sure to remind me that I was an absolute idiot for doing so. Having said all of that, I can't put it past them for at least a remote possibility. I mean, it's insane to think about everyone they're going to lose. We could look up in a few years and see that four of the five guys in the starting lineup are successful NBA players. You're telling me that they're going to reload like this and have the, you know, the development of the younger guys and truly be a top 10 team and vying for a third straight national championship? I'm not going to say it can't happen. I'm going to say if that does happen, then the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame needs to break its own rules and protocols and induct Dan Hurley in the next day, because he's going to the Hall of Fame, by the way. That's the other thing with this. Getting two in a row, he's going to join his father in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, and they'll be in the conversation. We'll see what they do in the portal. But even Hurley said last night in the postgame presser, and then I used this anecdote to close out my column, Jim, I was walking with him on the court, and after he had cut the net, it was around his neck, and he's kind of making his way from one place down to the other on the court, and he's trying to soak it all in. But then out of nowhere, he asked the staffer, hey, where's the East Regional next year? Just kind of like already thinking ahead, and they tell him it's Providence is the first weekend site, and then it's Newark, New Jersey, Prudential Center. And then he gives it a beat, and he goes, and where's the Final Four? This dude was 25 minutes removed from triple zeros on the clock, and he's already wondering about the path to get to a third straight championship. There was no one in the sport like Dan Hurley.
So, no, definitely a different cat. Like, he allowed himself 25 minutes to enjoy that. So, having said that, Matt, given how relentless he is, given how obsessed he is, and given what their culture is, how much catching up do the other national powers have to do to get where the Huskies have been the last 2 years?
I think there's massive ground to make up. That's not to say that other national powers can't ultimately, we won't look up next March and see, you know, UConn on the three line and other schools as a one or two seed having done better. But look at where they are. Right now, UConn indisputably has the claim as the best program in the sport. Not the best team, it's the best program. Like, it's operating at the top of the mountain, okay? And it's not really close right now. And Dan Hurley is the best coach in the sport. You know, Bill Self has maintained their reputation for a long time, and some people might even say, give me a random group of five to start a program, I'm going to take Bill Self over everyone. You still can. I won't fight with you. But Dan Hurley has a major, major claim to that. And so I think a lot of schools are going to do a lot of thinking, looking at how UConn did it. Now, Hurley, as you know so well, Jim, how he is wired and how he does it, it is different. I think I even saw you tweet something on Monday night about, like, how can you not like what this UConn team is or what Dan Hurley is? I am all the way there with you, man. I get it. I get it. Sometimes the in-game antics, the facial expressions, he was particularly all over the officiating in the first half last night to a level that I had not seen from him in a while. But I think his presence, his self-awareness, everything that that he's willing to talk about, from his vulnerability to, you know, doing yoga, trying to be mindful and admitting his faults, is a wonderful thing for the sport. And if coaches and programs can't replicate who he is as a person, that's more than okay. But look at what he has done. His assistants, Kamani Young, Luke Murray, very, very tough to emulate. And catching up ground on UConn will not be easy, because this program, which is, you know, established a blue blood situation as of last year's national championship, now, in my opinion, we have a modern dynasty.
You and I are on the same page, Matt. I mean, what's not to like? What's not to respect? What's not to get? The guy's dominant, absolutely dominant. He's built a monster. Matt, before you go, let me ask you this. The tournament might be over, but there's still a lot of news in college basketball. John Calipari agrees to take the Arkansas job. You yourself posted on the X platform after Kentucky lost to Oakland on March 21st, and I quote, "There's a very real chance that John Calipari has coached his last game at Kentucky," end of quote. Of course, you were right. So what is your reaction to Cal landing in Arkansas?
My reaction is that news breaking on the Sunday of the Final Four was something I will never forget. Cal, we couldn't have waited a little bit longer, because, you know, obviously it's not yet official. I'm not surprised by it. I'll try and be quick with you here, Jim, but I, you know, going back weeks and weeks, I had been told that John Calipari was, you know, not in love with his situation in Lexington anymore. He actually did have interest and intrigue in the Ohio State opening after that was official, when Chris Holtman got fired in February. The timing was never going to line up, and it never got super serious, but he was side-eyeing some stuff. And I had been told previously, hey, listen, if the Arkansas job ever came open, just keep an eye on that, because that's one that he has some real affinity for, in part because he's got a long-standing relationship with the Tyson family, who is, you know, among the biggest donors to the entire university. I think it's best for Calipari and for Kentucky that this is happening. I think it is a godsend, particularly for Calipari, because for his own mental well-being, I think it is a benefit. And maybe he can make a good push here. We await, to see what next official steps come with this. With him in the Arkansas job, but it, at this point, it's just a matter of, you know, P's and Q's and filling all that out. But it's a fascinating, fascinating story, because he's leaving a top three job in the sport to take a top 20 job in the sport. Arkansas is incredible, but can he invigorate that program and get it to the levels? And I know you are tight with Musk. Musk got him to 3 second weekends in a row after they had not made the Sweet 16 since 1996. It's going to be very interesting to see Calipari and those colors remaining in the SEC. And meantime, a search will be underway here for Kentucky's opening. And I'm very intrigued to see how long that takes and who ultimately takes that job, because they're going to try some big heavy hitters. And I do think ultimately it's Kentucky, Jim. They're going to get a big name. It's just a matter of how far down the line they go and who ultimately says yes.
Super quick follow. Who do you think that'll be?
Oh, all right. As we speak in real time here, I did check in with sources about like the Billy Donovan stuff. I'm going to say it's not going to be him. Not that it can't be him, but as things stand right now, he's coaching the Bulls. They're trying to get into the playoffs and all this. I just don't know if that's going to wind up being the thing. He's turned Kentucky down twice. If you made me guess this morning, and I got to be clear on this, it is a guess because I checked in on the Kentucky stuff this morning. Like, the athletic director, Mitch Barnhart, hasn't officially triggered this search, so we'll see. I'm going to tell you, Scott Drew, but Jim, we have to wait and see. There are a lot of intriguing candidates out there. Scott Drew is probably the best blend of qualified candidate, how he is wired. I think he'd actually be a really good match with Mitch Barnhart, the Kentucky athletic director. So that's my initial guess. But this search, it'll evolve over the course of the week, and I wouldn't expect it to be a super, super quick turnaround. Obviously, a very big job. A lot of important people in that state are going to want to have some input, but ultimately it's going to be Mitch Barnhart's call. And we see where Kentucky goes as we have a seismic shift. What happened Sunday, Jim, very few things could run alongside a national championship game between 2-1 seeds, but John Calipari in Arkansas, that was an earthquake and kind of the news event that we'll remember years and years and years from now.
What a tremendous conversation the morning after. He is a CBS Sports senior college basketball writer. He is a CBS Sports HQ college basketball analyst. He is also the co-host of the Ion College Basketball Podcast. Matt, I know it was a long weekend, a long night. Appreciate you, brother, very much. Thanks for doing that, and I will run you down again soon. Great job by you, as always, Matt.
Yeah, Jim, you know, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for having me on again and again this season. And have a wonderful spring. It's always an absolute joy to be on your show.
You too, dude. Much respect. Much respect to you, Matt. Matt Norlander joining us, one of the best in the business and a rising star.